Bill Bender, welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well, Bill.
Hey, I am. It's been a busy couple days here at ACC Media Days, but thanks for having me on.
No, absolutely, and thank you so much for giving us an update. And we love the Media Days because it sort of signs us or gives us a sign that college football is so much closer. But for you and I, it's sort of the hardest 2 days of the year that we work, even though it's just, you know, you have to put out so much content. I'm sure you're doing that as well, and I do appreciate you helping me out here for a few minutes. Talk some ACC football.
And it's kind of ACC. They don't really see it this way, which surprised me, but it's kind of the undercard of the SEC Media Day 4-day event last week, but they kind of compressed this one into two. And, you know, but there were a record number of credentials, and certainly Florida State was the story of this one.
Let's go back to yesterday a couple of minutes. Now, we've talked about, and I've said it was arrogance. When I listened to the audio, I was not in that room, but Winston, he sort of has this arrogant attitude inside that room. Did it look the same way?
To me, it really, I went the other way because I kind of went in with that same attitude towards him heading into this year that I was like, yeah, he's kind of arrogant, he's kind of this, but, you know, he really owned that, and that's what I wrote yesterday. It sounds arrogant unless you kind of, like, listen to him, where he's like, well, he did that last year. You know, he's had a crazy 12 months where he's coming off, he's trying to become the first person to win back-to-back Heismans and back-to-back national championships. That's never been done. And for all the pressure that gets put on him, I think he did a good job and maintained it and did the right things yesterday, even especially because there was more than 100 reporters looking at him. He's definitely this year's college football superstar.
We're talking right now as we continue to talk to Bill Bender from the Sporting News. He was there at ACC Media Days yesterday. As we look at Winston, what do you think? Do you think he can repeat the same success that he had in 2013?
Well, I don't know if he can be that good. I mean, he threw 40 touchdowns over 4,000 yards, and they didn't get touched. I mean, obviously, when you talk about Florida State to maybe somebody that's an Alabama or Auburn fan, they're quick to point out that they play in the ACC. And obviously, the depth in the ACC isn't the same as the SEC. Everybody understands that. So I still think Florida State has a pretty good shot, given their schedule, to go to the Final Four. And if that happens, I mean, he'll have a chance at a second Heisman, and they'll be in position to try to win a second one, but we all know how difficult that really is.
I go back for just a couple of minutes, and I know us media guys, sometimes we look at situations, but Winston, has it just been bad luck with him? I mean, obviously he's had situations. You want to go back to the soda fountain incident. We go through the alleged sexual assault. Then we make it to the crab legs, and I know he's just sort of had a bad run of a year here, but it seems like some of that can go back to Jimbo Fisher and the way that, I don't know if you want to call it mismanaged or miscoached or whatever word you want to use, but it has been a bad run for him.
Well, he was lucky that he got the crab legs incident happened during baseball season, because what if he didn't play baseball? He may get suspended for this Oklahoma State game, and they were able to suspend him that way. I thought that was kind of an easy out there. And the sexual assault investigation, it's just a tough situation. I don't feel comfortable commenting on, because it's just, but you're right, it's another incident where, okay, what's next? I mean, is anything going to stick to this guy? And I'm certain that won't get looked at as hard in the college game as it will when he goes in the NFL draft, when everything about you gets picked apart.
Who's going to challenge Florida State in the ACC?
Well, I tell you what, talking to Bobby Petrino today, that could be a sleeper. And he has some experience, and speaking of a guy that's been through a wild ride the last couple of years, but he knows how to coach offense. I don't think they're better than Florida State, but they're a team that could. And there's Clemson, but with the quarterback change, it'll be interesting to see what they do. And, you know, everybody wants Miami of Florida to be the U and this and that. And Al Golden today looks very comfortable. They're no longer being investigated. That's a team, if he can get it all together, put it all together, and put away some of that bad boy, the U stuff from the past, they could be a team to watch out for.
You look at the ACC for a couple of minutes. What is Clemson? What are their chances of doing something special in 2014?
Well, their schedule's brutal. I mean, they go right down to Georgia in the start. Cole Stout looks like he's going to be the quarterback, but everybody, they took more questions about Deshaun Watson, the five-star kid behind him. I mean, Jameis Winston took questions about him. They were asking questions about that guy to everybody. So the pressure's on there to replace Taj Boyd. I don't think they're going to take a huge step back, but without Boyd and Watkins, it's hard to see them being that you know, 10-win, 11-win team, especially in the division with Florida State and Louisville.
And not covering the event the way that you were able to cover it there, listening to all the coaches, listening to all the players, what is the sort of their opinion on college football playoffs as we approach a new scene in this new college football in 2014?
I think it'd probably be the same as what you get down there. It varies. A lot of people like it. Some were saying there should be eight, but most of them seem to be in favor of it, and it was one of those deals where a lot of them didn't really say anything negative about the BCS either, and I was kind of the same way. I mean, I always thought the BCS matched up 1 and 2 more often than not, and that this 14 playoff is a good thing because it's an extra week of football, and I've been saying all summer that I think January 1st is going to be right up there with the NFL playoffs, especially if you get the right teams in there like in Alabama and Auburn, Ohio State, Oregon, Florida State, those type teams. It's going to be really awesome.
But you look at college football playoffs for a couple of minutes, and I know that I'm not sure if the question marks are coming from the ACC, but if you run through, maybe this is being unfair, but I'm going to say it anyway. You look at the SEC, if you come through this league and you're one loss, is that better than an undefeated ACC team that ran through that conference undefeated?
Well, it probably won't be better than a Florida State just because they're the defending national champions, and you know how that cred, that street cred or whatever you want to call it, builds up as you win games. But it would be interesting if, say, Michigan State was undefeated in the Big Ten and then Alabama or LSU had a one loss, and we've almost had that happen a few times. So I still think the SEC's got the inside track and probably every argument possible if they have a one loss team because of how tough, especially the SEC West, which I was arguing with a guy, our NFL writer, the other day. I said the SEC West is the toughest division in all of sports. He wanted to say the NFC West. But your point, well taken. And if any conference is at a disadvantage, it could be the Big 12 because they don't have a championship game.
As you look at college football, you and I have spoke about this via Twitter. I've never spoke to you on the air. But we're sort of becoming police blotter watchers. We're watching a lot of rest in college football. How can we clean it up?
Oh, my gosh. It is good talking to you for the first time live. I mean, everybody talks via Twitter. That means we're best friends, right?
But absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, but no, I'm lucky enough that I have a wife that has an experience as she worked at a crime reporter at a couple newspapers. So I get away. I go through her. I was like, can I say this? Can I write this? What happened? But it really is crazy how many off-season arrests there have been. I don't know if it's more or less, but I started that running blog of everyone in July, and it's bizarre incident one after another. And as our lead writer at Sporting News, Matt Hayes, continues to say, the issues in college football aren't the player likeness and the O'Bannon stuff. The biggest issue is player behavior right now. We really need to take steps, get more discipline, make sure these things aren't happening, because the more widespread it becomes, the bigger black eye it will become for college football.
And Bill, and I don't know you. You and I have never met, but obviously I had brothers. I had younger and older, and I watched them. If they got away with something, I knew I could test the water. And I think that's what's happening right now. We don't have a lot of coaching that are disciplining their players. I mean, they're giving them, you know, bleachers to run or, you know, run around the field or run around the stadium, but they're not suspending because this game's turned into a money sport. And if you suspend a player, you know, these coaches' salaries dependent on it. I mean, if they win this game, they lose the game, it can really determine whether they play for a conference championship or a national title.
Oh, I totally agree. And I had two sisters, and they got away with everything. I was the oldest, so I always got punished. So I can't relate there, but I agree with you. And honestly, the NFL, I don't want to say they get it right, but a lot of the hardcore, it's a 4-game suspension, is a good thing because those guys lose money. I mean, you look at Josh Gordon; he might not play all season, and he had problems in college that they didn't get fixed. So if there were harsher penalties on player behavior, arrest, to me, DUIs are just unacceptable. I know we were all kids at once, but that's where you're not just putting yourself in danger, you're putting other people in danger. And those kinds of things need to be punished more frequently, harsher. And, you know, like you said, if you can test the waters, what's to stop the next guy from doing it? And maybe that fixes the problem.
College football writer from the Sporting News right now, Bill Bender, Inside the Game. You wrote an article a couple of minutes ago. It says, Jimbo Fisher preaches attitude of domination. Tallahassee starting to look like Tuscaloosa. I'll let you explain.
Well, yeah. I mean, the people aren't down where you're at aren't going to agree, but I just see the blueprints, the attitude, the way they built up their program. It's very similar to Alabama. Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher coach together. Jimbo Fisher has a ton of NFL talent. You see it rolling through there. It's just maybe, you know, you can add up the numbers, whatever. They're probably pretty close. And just attitude of domination, like he wants, he's got control of every step of this program. I was very impressed with Jimbo Fisher today. I thought, you know, it's like you said earlier, it kind of sounds arrogant, but when you hear it up close and then you listen to him explain it, you're like, well, that's not all that different than maybe the approach they take at Alabama or maybe with Gus Malzahn at Auburn, which I think those three programs right there, I mean, if I'm going the next 5 years and forecasting out, I want to be one of those three programs. And you've got it great because you got two of those programs in the same state that are going to be going at it for the next 5 years.
I could see where you could draw some similarities of Jimbo Fisher obviously coaching under Nick Saban. This may sound like a homer. I just don't think Winston could ever play for Saban. And I'm not trying to be like this guy originates out of Tuscaloosa. But I think Nick Saban, as far as the rants, he would scream and throw things at us. If Winston was his quarterback, just the display. Like, we had three players that – I mean, there was players that he didn't take to SEC Media Days simply because he wanted a different message coming out of SEC Media Days. And trust me, I mean, there's players that have a different sort of attitude. But Nick Saban picks and chooses who we get to talk to. It's really unique. And maybe that's a homer coming out of Tuscaloosa, but I can see some similarities. But then on the opposite side of that, I'm not seeing as many similarities.
Well, no, I just said I think you're dealing with two programs. Basically what I wrote was Jimbo Fisher's put his kind of own personal spin on what Saban's done. Because if you ask me, I mean, if you look, we did a top 25 active coaches in sports last week at Sporting News, and I kind of ran that project, and Saban was number two. I think he would have been number one had the Spurs not won the finals. So I know the program and what they've built and that they're kind of the standard in college football right now, but I'm telling you, this program at Florida State, and they've done it before. That's the thing. They've done it with Bobby Bowden. They did it in the 90s. They went on this ridiculous run. They're in an easier conference. And, I mean, 94, it was like an 18-year run where they finished top five. And they'll be in position to do that for the next two or three years. And as for Winston not playing for Saban, that's one thing where Saban kind of has that, you know, the next guy, is it Coker or whoever it is, all they have to do is be like McCarron and McElroy and these guys that they're not caretakers. I always think those guys are better than they're given credit for, and they're winners. And that's what Saban wants at quarterback.
He does, and a guy that, you know, not make mistakes. I mean, I guess I just saw him, AJ would get a little bit loose a little bit, and I mean, I'm talking about, like, small things. I mean, like, Tennessee one time called Alabama the red team, and then AJ went off on the red team, and Nick Saban, he jerked him back, and it was just like, no, you're not allowed to do that. That's not the way, you know, that a quarterback under Nick Saban, he just – Nick Saban is a unique guy to cover, and it's one of those that sort of makes our job unique. But at times, it would be much easier, I must say, if you had a Winston that loves to talk and that attitude and that charismatic that he sort of brings, it would be a lot of fun because it'd be a lot of great quotes and a lot of easier talk radio days. But as it is, it's sort of these guys are programmed. I mean, they almost repeat the same thing Nick Saban says. It's like a cycle of the same thing. It's just coming from a different voice.
Well, here's one thing I'll tell you about Alabama as an outsider viewing it. And I told you before I came on, you know, I grew up in Big Ten country. I grew up in the
You were not
Ohio
supposed
State
to say that, Bill. You were not supposed to say, yeah.
I let my secret out. But, no, I say, you know, I grew up, my dad was from Michigan, grew up in that area, grew up in Ohio with a dad that was a Michigan fan, so there you go. But it's one of those things where Alabama just, every time I sit and watch him, I'm like, they run the perfect play for that situation more often than not than any other team in the country. And they play sound defense. They basically make you beat them, and then they kind of strangle you defensively. So, what Saban's built there, they're going to be in position to be in the Final Four. People keep asking me about the quarterback situation. I'm kind of like, just what you said. If they have a quarterback, it doesn't matter if it's Jacob Coker or whoever, that doesn't make mistakes. They're going to win football games because they have a pound you running game. Their defense is always going to be good. He's got a ton of NFL talent, great recruiting classes. So it's not this. I'm not lessening what they do at there. I'm saying he's put that program in a position where they should be in national championship contention every single season, and they've earned that.
Hey, Bill, just curious, did Coker's name come up today at all with Florida State?
No, he didn't. I thought it might, but no, they didn't bring him up. Like I said, there were a lot of questions about this backup Clemson quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who I'm going to have to do more homework on when I get back, because I was a little blindsided by how much that was. And, you know, the thing is, it's always good to talk to like a guy like Frank Beamer, too, because you learn something. The guy's been around the game so long. He's been up there in Blacksburg, kind of an elder statesman of the ACC. And, you know, that's always a good thing to be able to sit down and talk with him for a few minutes.